Good morning, SCC. We hope you had a very Merry Christmas. Would you stand and join with us in worship this morning? We just thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We thank you for the joy that you promise. We thank you that you are the joy of this world, Lord. And I pray that you would open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds to see that even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room in heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. Glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. Jesus, our hope and strength. You made a way and unlocked these chains. Here in your presence, strongholds break. Freed by the love you gave, we give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. There on a tree, merciful King, broken and shameful, raw to see. The Father laid down His Son. From darkness to light, death lost to life, heaven and earth will join and sing. Jesus has offered. The highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. With every breath that's in my lungs, my heart cries out to you. Belongs the glory through every loss or victory. My soul will rise to only bring you glory. With every breath that's in my lungs, my heart cries out to you. Belongs the glory through every loss or victory. My soul will rise to only bring you glory. You glory. We give you highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. To you belongs the glory. The glory. Through every loss or victory, my soul will rise to only bring you glory. deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. Break the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the darkness. Your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. The promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Thank you. death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living
hope. Let's give a big hand to Chris and Janessa. Thank you for serving us this morning. And let's pray. Lord, you are our living hope. And we think of you today, Lord, as we celebrate Christmas, as we think about the preceding year and the year ahead. We know you are faithful to us. And that you know exactly what is going on in our lives. You're going to lead us. You're going to guide us. Thank you, God. Thank you that you know every one of our fears and our concerns, and that you will come through for us. There's many challenges ahead as we look into the new year. And Lord, let us dare to put you first, considering your character, your mercy, your compassion. Lord, we know you've got our best interests in mind. Lord, I know at times we're stubborn, we're resistant, we might even be rebellious when it comes to trusting you. Some of us are carrying some heavy loads. We've got family that are sick. We have other things that are concerning to us as we look at the coming months. But Lord, you want to teach us the importance of following you. Lord, you want to take us through those dark times and lead us through. So thank you, God, that you're sure and you're steadfast, that you empower us by your Holy Spirit and lead and guide. You give us assurance, you give us hope. And Lord, as we think about today, as we think about the days ahead, we pray that we can trust you more fully, experiencing your love in the church and in our friends and our family. Lord, you are the one we come to today. So thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you this morning. My name is Rick Dietzman. I'm the associate pastor here at Scum Community Church. And greetings to those online as well as those who are here among us. I'm going to be taking us through the service today. And I want to start out with a few announcements about things that are coming up in the life of the church. Now, some of these actually relate to my own area of adult ministries because, you know, we've got several months here of things that have been going on in terms of classes and things like that, and I want to let you know of some opportunities that are ahead. One of them is going to be something called Wednesday Night Online, which we started in the fall with a class called God Space. And in that class, it was a Zoom class we ran on Wednesday nights. Daryl and Madeline Jensen, who run our Stevens Ministries, offered that to do a follow-on starting January 13th, which would involve training others and helping us to learn how to reach out. Stevens Ministry is a group of people that come alongside those who are sick or who are grieving. And there are a pretty high bar involved in getting involved in this ministry, and we wanted to take some of the best training from Stephen's ministry and bring it into a class that more of us can be part of. So I'm going to show this short video, and Daryl and Madeline are going to explain what it's about.
Hi, we're Madeline and Daryl Jensen, Stephen ministers at Scum Community Church. We want to let you know of a brand new learning opportunity about discipling coming your way this January. God has called all of us to reach out to those around us. Get in touch with your talent, time, and treasure and touch. Get prepared to take action, reach out to others, and go make things happen through the new Active Care training course.
We believe all Christians would like to have lives that glorify God. We faithfully want to be effective and influential throughout our lives and ministries. The answer to glorifying God is not just learning techniques or even learning objective truths. We need to be growing more and more into the image of Jesus Christ by putting into action what we've learned. The church is beginning a new 10-week course in January from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. that will give you the opportunity to begin and or continue to move forward the needle on your spiritual meter, acquire the knowledge and skills to help build your outreach confidence so you can communicate and care with people you come in contact with. Join us Wednesday, January 13th on Zoom at 6:30 p.m. May God bless you all.
So the way to sign up for that is you go in the church website under Growing and then scroll down to Wednesday Night Online, and then you can just sign up, give us your email, and we'll give you the Zoom link, and you can be part of that. The other offering is going to be starting January 10th. It's my Adult Sunday Seminar. Some of you know I did a class this year on the Great Awakenings, and we're going to now go into the next class called the Truth Project, which begins on January 10th. Same way you go into Growing, go down to Adult Sunday Seminars. Next week we'll have a little video about that, but this is a great time to explore worldview, and Del Tackett is the host of that class, and we'll be interacting through it. And so both of these are really actually great things to do during winter when nothing else is going on. When we can, we'll go back to a hybrid on the Sunday seminar, but for now it's going to be on Zoom only in January, and I hope you can join me and in being part of that part of that class. We're going to begin now with our scripture reading from the Gospel of Luke.
The time came for Mary and Joseph to do the things the law of Moses taught about being made pure. They took their son, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. In the law, it is written, "When a mother's first baby is a boy, he shall be called special for the Lord." Now in Jerusalem lived a man named Simeon. He was a good man, devoted to God, and the Holy Spirit was with him. Simeon waited patiently for the time when God would deliver Israel. The Holy Spirit told Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Messiah from the Lord. Simeon had been led by the Spirit to the temple and was there when Mary and Joseph arrived with baby Jesus. Simeon took the baby in his arms and thanked God, saying, "Now, Lord, you can let me, your servant, die in peace, as you said. I have seen with my own eyes how you will save your people. Now all people can see your plan. He is a light to show your way to other nations, and he will bring honor to your people, Israel." Mary and Joseph were amazed at what he said about Jesus. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "Many Jews will fall and many will rise because of this boy. He will be a sign from God that some will not accept. So the secret thoughts of many will be made known, and the things that happen will be painful for you, like a sword cutting through your heart." There was a prophetess named Anna, who was now 84 years old. She had lived with her husband 7 years before death. Anna was always at the temple worshiping God by fasting and praying day and night. So she was there when Joseph and Mary arrived at the temple. She praised God and talked about Jesus to all those who were waiting for God to free Jerusalem.
Well, this is a perfect story to do the Sunday after Christmas. And it comes after, of course, the time of the birth, 40 days during a time of purification. And then Joseph and Mary travel from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice. And here we have a couple of people who have been waiting on God, who encounter Joseph and Mary and the baby. Now, the reason I wanted to pick this passage today was we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to talk about deepening our prayer life. And here we have two people that are never mentioned again in the Bible, Simeon and Anna, who are noted for their righteousness and particularly for their devotion to prayer. Now we begin with Simeon, who had been there in the temple courts waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Anna was a prophetess and a widow, and she never left the temple. She worshiped there night and day, fasting and praying, and coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God, and she spoke about the child. These were people who were waiting on God to do something, and also, at this point, they were confirming what God was doing. God used them in a very particular way, a very special way, to show what the future would be. And they were amazing in terms of their ability, in terms of their praying and their devotion to prayer. And part of what I think I'd like to share with you this morning is about my journey in my own experience of prayer this year. Last year, at the beginning of January in 2020, we began a ministry called Rooted, which was a small group ministry that many of us participated in. It was around 350 people were joining small groups for a season of time, and I knew that this particular class, this course, the small group experience would be very deep in people's lives. I didn't know it would turn into COVID, of course, and all the other things that happened this year. But I remember thinking right at the end of 2019, I want to test and see if I can make prayer more intentional this year. So I created a list of about 100 people that got weekly emails about Rooted, about things going on in the groups, and I began to write things on a regular basis, asking people to pray. And that went on, and then all of a sudden we came into COVID time, and that particular group of people who were praying, it continued. Week after week, I continued to send emails to them. During Rooted itself, we had a large prayer meeting of about 200 people who came. And so I was learning some things and trying to apply regular prayer to all that was going on in that first part of the year. There was also a pastor's group that was meeting twice a month in person, and we had to stop when COVID started, and we began to use Zoom and call once a week and pray. And this continued all the way into summer. Small groups continued to meet. They met on Zoom. And again, prayer was a big part of that whole season. And so I got to the end of summer, and I thought, you know, what I'd like to do is study the Great Awakenings, to study prayer, and finish out the fall learning as much as I can about prayer. So I did that. I learned about how God was working in the current times in America and other parts of Washington. We actually did finished it up by bringing in a course by Jim Cimbala, who is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, who began a prayer meeting once a week in his church many years ago, and it made a huge difference. So all of these things were impacting me this entire year. And I would like to use this message today to give you some of the highlights, some of the best lessons that I learned from this whole experience this year. And I start with, why are these two people even mentioned in the Bible, Simeon and Anna? If you look at a commentary, it talks about how in Israel, to establish a factual statement, two witnesses who were unrelated were needed to validate a truth. So God would use the testimony of two people. And here we have the situation where these two people who were unrelated to Joseph and Mary come in and express things about this baby. All that started to make sense to me when I saw what Jesus said later about the whole idea of agreeing with others in prayer. And he talks about it in Matthew 18. He says, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." And this is what really spoke to me, and actually is a really great principle for prayer. Intentionality means something to God. He wants us to pray with others and not only pray by ourselves. And he somehow uses that agreement to cement things in our lives. Now, most of us, our opportunities to pray come in our small groups. If you were part of a small group during the whole time of COVID, I'm sure you prayed on a regular basis. And I think that part of this this learning to pray is about just setting up times, setting up spaces to pray. One of the things that we do as a church is we have a prayer list of people who are on call to pray whenever someone gets sick in the church. And so whenever that happens, we send it out to them, and there's a group that meets on Wednesday mornings and prays. There's also a group that actually meets on Sunday mornings before the service, and when we were more open, they were meeting on campus. All this is going on a regular basis, and it's an opportunity to gather and pray and agree together. Now, it's not always the most exciting thing in the world to go to a prayer meeting, but the regularity is what God uses. And so part of this builds a confidence in us when we gather with others. That's what 1 John 5 says. This is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know what we asked of him. Part of understanding God's will and growing in that is coming into agreement with others and praying with others. Because he wants us to grow in that confidence. He wants us to grow in the experience of prayer. And he wants to take the hard things that we experience and make them into seasons of trust. It says in Psalm 9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in time of trouble. And those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. So I'm thinking, and I'm really convinced more and more, that intentionality is what is helpful and needed to help us grow in that trust. I know for a fact that putting together a prayer meeting and having people come to it is one of the hardest things to see happen. And I think there's probably a spiritual attack against it. One of the things I learned from Jim Cimbala, watching his story of his church, was the amount of work that went into emphasizing prayer on a regular basis. And having those kinds of meetings, having those kinds of opportunities, when troubled times came, there was a place for people to go and to gather and to agree together and to seek God's will. That's one of the aspects. Another one that is very, very important, besides intentionality, is the Holy Spirit. And when we seek the Lord, the Holy Spirit leads us. It says in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. So we don't have to come up with things to convince God about. Part of praying is actually becoming aware of what God wants us to pray about. That's a big lesson, and that's a safe thing too, because what we're doing when we pray is actually discovering God's will. He reveals to us what to pray for. And Simeon is a perfect example of this. He was a man filled with the Spirit. He was in the temple. He was waiting. He was expecting from God. And then, moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts, to the exact place where Jesus was. He took the baby in his arms and he praised God. And then Simeon spoke these words. He said, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, as a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." We don't know what Simeon was dealing with in his own personal life, what he was praying about, but we do know that he was waiting for the Messiah. And the Lord, when he saw Jesus, he spoke these words that were so far beyond himself. The Gentiles would come to faith in God. God's glory would be revealed. All this happened because the Holy Spirit helped him to pray. And not only that, the Holy Spirit prepared him to pray by giving him these words. So God prepares us to seek his will and prepares us for the future. So I want to focus in a little bit on Mary. Luke chapter 2 has so many times that Mary is given a word of encouragement from God. It says in Luke 2:19, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She had an appearance from an angel telling her about this miraculous birth that was coming. Then she went to her relative Elizabeth, and they spoke of these babies, John the Baptist and Jesus, together. Then on the night of the birth in Bethlehem, here come these shepherds running in from the fields, speaking of angels appearing to them and talking about Jesus being the Savior of the world. All these things happen. And then Mary and Joseph travel to the temple, and these two other people, Simeon and Anna, are speaking words of prophecy and of hope. And then Simeon spoke some more reality to her, some more truth to her. Simeon said to her, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So Simeon gave not only these hopeful words of Jesus being a Savior, but he gave a difficult word, that not everything would go well, that there'd be conflict, there would be pain for Mary. And if you look at the timeline of when these events occurred, you see here that Simeon was preparing Mary to pray for her whole life for Jesus. In the Matthew's gospel, what follows this time was the wise men visiting the home of Joseph and Mary. It didn't actually happen on the night of the birth, as you see in the nativity plays. But several months later, this is after the time of purification, the wise men came bringing gifts. But they also brought a huge problem as well, because Herod began persecution. And soon after this day in the temple, Joseph and Mary would be fleeing to Egypt for a long, long time. Children in Bethlehem would die because of Herod. There would be this time when nothing made sense. And so God was using this moment and this time that was coming to prepare Mary, not only for this, but for the entirety of Jesus' life. He would be someone who would cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. He would reveal the hearts, reveal the motivations of many hearts. He would die on a cross, and she'd have to witness that. And God used this difficulty to prepare her. And that's another big lesson for prayer. God uses the good things. He also uses those times when we have angst or when we have worry about something to prepare us for what to come and to prepare us to pray. He works through our motivations, our wounds, even our own sins in order to lead us. And one of the things that Jim Cimbala said that I found really helpful when he did this class that I ran, as well as from his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. He said, "Prayer is born out of a whole environment of felt need. If I say I ought to pray, I'll soon run out of motivation and quit. I have to be driven to pray." So as you think about your own times of prayer, we often do that. I ought to pray more. Instead, look at what is happening around you, things that are worrying you, things that are concerning to you, reasons to bring things up. And all that God wants us to do is to find a few others to agree with, to pray together, and to note it, and to note those times of trouble. Oftentimes, too, some of the biggest hindrances, we have someone we're praying for, and we also have a relational problem with them. God may want to just work in us to ask for forgiveness or to approach that person and make things right. He may use that tension, that trouble, to bring about a motivation to pray. So I want to encourage you to pay attention more to the things that bother you. When I studied the Great Awakenings, what I found was that before each of them, there were groups of people that got together and felt led to pray. It was a small group usually. The first one was in Moravia, the Moravian prayer movement started in 1727. And 20 years later, there were groups of people in churches that were not paying attention who suddenly became convicted of their sin and convinced of their sin, and a revival started in America. But the prayer started in Europe. And God often does that. He uses a smaller group of people, just like Simeon and Anna, who are aware. In fact, in this situation, nobody knew anything about Jesus. But these people were prepared. They began to pray. They began to speak of these things. And several years later, things began to happen. And so God uses that. The other thing that's happened in all the Great Awakenings is there's been wars or financial crisis at the beginnings of them. So, you know, this year has been actually a perfect opportunity to get ready for God to awaken us and to bring revival, because there's been trouble and there's been crisis. And God wants us to call on him. It says in Psalm 50, "Call on me on the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." He uses our troubles to draw us to himself. He wants to deliver us, and he wants to give us that long view. He will encourage us with blessings and promises. He'll also give us premonitions or worries, and he'll assure us that he's with us through each and every turn. That's the lesson of prayer. Final lesson is that God's word is an integral part of hoping in him and enduring. And Simeon and Anna were, again, examples of that. It says in Romans that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Both Simeon and Anna were relying on Old Testament promises about the Messiah, and they were waiting on God to fulfill them. And when they saw what was there, they spoke of it. Even though Jesus was still a baby, even though none of this had actually happened yet, God used his scriptures to anchor them in his promises. And so as we think of what they did, Psalm 119, it really encapsulates their example. It says, "I rise before dawn and I cry for help. I put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." And that's what Simeon and Anna were doing. They were waiting on God. They were putting their trust in his word. They were ready for when his promises were revealed. Lots to learn about prayer, and I'm very thankful for this year, for the experiences of this year. I know we've had a lot of difficulties, but I don't want to forget the things that God has brought me through personally in that, in terms of even answered prayer and times of prayer with our own small group. And Lord, the Lord has been good in this church and in answering prayer. I'll give you one last application as you look at the days ahead. If you'd like to see the class on the Great Awakenings, if you weren't able to be part of that, all you need to do is go to the church website, look under Growing, and click Adult Sunday Seminars. You can sign up for that, and I'll actually give you the links. You can watch all those different lessons that were learned through history and even into our present time. I know you'd be encouraged by that. I'll also sign you up for the Truth Project if you'd like, and you can move into January expecting on God to work and trusting in his word. So I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I thank you for this time that we've had this morning. Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of this hard year, that you desire to teach us deep lessons about yourself. You want to remind us that we're not alone, that we can join with others. We can trust you. We can come to you and pray, and pray more. Lord, let these difficult times, or these times when we feel isolated, be times we reach out to others. And I pray that would happen, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, help us to focus in on your promises and to look to them, Lord, to trust you for big things in our own lives in the days ahead. Thank you that we can pray according to your will, that you use crises to get our attention, that you might even use relational difficulties to get our attention. And as we think about 2021, guide us in these days ahead, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
like a treasured prize. A love so deep and powerful, I've come to find it's inexhaustible. And it never runs out on me, and I know it never will, and it never stops chasing me. No, it never will. For I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in the land of the living. For I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in the land of the living. Stops pursuing. It's a love so grandeur, exceeding goodness. It's taking captive every lofty hindrance, and it never runs out on me. And I know it never will. It never stops. No, it never will. For I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in the land of the living. For I will see the goodness of the Lord.
My prayer for you is you'll see the goodness of the Lord as we enter into this coming year. I encourage you, find those opportunities to pray. Just make them. Learn what God has for you by joining with others. And that may be in your small group or in your families. But take those moments. Take those times on the phone. Take those times that that might just be used to think to yourself, to bring God into it, to bring others into it, and trust him and see what he does. He says he won't disappoint us, and I know he won't. So God bless you as you begin this new year. Amen.